views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on, to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and welcome to the show. It's such a delight to be able to talk with folks in a way that really can open some interesting and unique doors, conversing about choices that we make and spirituality and teachings and things that seem especially for me to be particularly interesting to connect with. My two guests are Dr. Bill Holton and Dr. Cher Holton. We'll call them the doctors.
Is that a paradox?
That's a paradox. And both reverends. So we've got the reverend doctor, and I feel like I just need to have an amen here. But I guess I want to start off with saying, before we get caught up in titles, to me, it's Bill and Cher. And by the way, Cher, I just, you know, somebody with the name of Cher, there's just something about that, you know,
Don't ask me to sing.
Really? Oh, come on. I was thinking maybe that could be a wonderful part of the show here. Cher sings and Bill could impersonate Sonny. But Bill and Cher both have been involved in writing and speaking and coaching for over 30 years. And not only have they been involved actively in churches, but as important to me, outside of the traditional church setting, being able to really talk about and help people connect with the truth of who they are. And I know on my end years ago, in fact, this share goes back into the, mid-90s, I had my first introduction to a Unity church in Raleigh, and a gentleman by the name of Jack Graff was there. And boy, I'm talking about doing church different. Now, that was different. Yep. I mean, you know, when he cut loose on the piano and it was razzmatazz, it was really kind of interesting. Yet, when he spoke, what he spoke was really something that reached in and, in my opinion, touched the heart. And that set me off on a spiritual quest that's been a little different, but yet I think a truth for a lot of people. So I want to say I'm thrilled to have you on the show. And just as a side note for anybody that's listening as well, Cher is a past president of the Carolinas chapter of NSA. And so it's always nice to have a fellow National Speakers Association past president with us as well. So thank you for that.
Welcome. You are so welcome. We're glad to be here.
So I know you guys have really been focusing recently on people walking their spiritual path and the practicality of people being able to do that. So I guess I'd like to start off with, tell us a little bit about your current project.
Okay. We're very excited about it. Our current project is to create a cyber home for people who consider themselves more spiritual than religious. Because a lot of people have churches, but as you grow in your spirituality and in that quest, you sometimes don't fit in there. And yet you still are looking for that opportunity for networking, for sharing, for community. And sometimes that's hard to find. And so we wanted to create a place online that would reach people around the world, provide opportunities to help them master the art of living by walking the spiritual path on practical feet.
Oh, I like that. Spiritual path on practical feet.
Yes.
Now, to both of you, you said something, Cher, at the beginning of your comments that there's a difference, I guess, between those of us who feel that we are spiritual versus religious. What are you times are changing. I realize this. Tell us what you're finding in the world today, because it seems like there is a reduction, less people attending church, so to speak. And yet there seems to be a number of people who identify with the fact that we're spiritual. What are you finding?
Well, great question. And yes, what we are absolutely finding is that there is a growing percentage of people, a growing movement, if you will, worldwide of people who consider themselves more spiritual than religious. The percentages are up there, too. We're talking 78% of the people in the world consider themselves more spiritual than religious. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that prompted us to look at, as we were looking at becoming involved in a quote-unquote church, why we decided on the Unity movement, the Unity denomination. Unity doesn't like to be called denomination, but if you walk like a denomination, talk like a denomination, have a seminary and ministers, you're a denomination.
Right.
And but what attracted us to that is that you have that seems to attract more spiritual people. And what's interesting, the challenge we had as Unity ministers was to manage a religious culture in Unity churches and the spiritual culture as well in the same building who met at the same time. And of course, as you prepared for your Sunday services, you had to make the message a message so that you didn't build in so much cognitive dissonance that you would run the religious types away. And on the other hand, you wanted to keep the spiritual people there involved.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating to me. I was up in Canada not long ago and happened to be, it was in Montreal, beautiful place. I was always fascinated by the fact that they would start in French, you'd speak English, they'd immediately switch to English. And it was like, you know, I felt so inadequate. It was really pathetic because I'm, you know, speak English in fractured Southern, and that's about as bilingual as I can come. But we happened to be going down one of the streets, and there was an old Catholic church, and it was not being used. And I made some comment about it, and they said, yeah, it's actually for sale. That a lot of the buildings that were once churches are being transformed because there's either the movement toward the, I'm not sure how to put this, the non-denominational megachurch that could meet in a strip center someplace or in some big, it used to be a grocery store perhaps or something, mm-hmm. or the old traditional churches that are finding that the people who regularly attend are aging out, yeah. And there's just not the interest in it. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. I think people are searching for something, and a lot of people aren't sure what that is, but they know that they've reached a point where they want something more. And that's not always being found in the traditional churches.
Well, one thing we do, too, is that something more has to do with how you, for those who are still accepting, if you will, of the Bible as their spiritual text. And of course, Cher and I are, too. We've never had difficulty reading the Bible, accepting the Bible, except that we've taken the scriptural passages beyond the literal and have added some spiritual depth to the meetings. And of course, that's what we do. If we read a spiritual a religious passage, we follow that up immediately with a spiritual interpretation of that religious passage. And the reason we do that is that people who consider themselves more spiritual than religious have left the dogmatic box behind and they don't want to climb back in it. Once you're out of the box, if you will, there's a lot more room out there for spiritual growth than to be in a walled-in dogmatic box.
Yeah, it's fascinating to observe. I guess that's the best way to put it, but to observe where people are in many cases and what they're looking for, because and I say this respectfully, but for a lot of us, and I'm a baby boomer, so, you know, we grew up in especially in the Southeast United States, you know, grew up in church, and you're expected to go on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, possibly Wednesday night. And there were certain things that you came to expect. And yet over time, it left a void for people. And it seemed that, and boy, this is going to, you know, perhaps offend some folks, but it seemed like that a lot of the religious and the denomination was about power, was about how to exert power over people and to maintain what the religion provided as a foundation for the people who were in the hierarchy of that religion. And I guess a lot of us baby boomers kind of rebelled against power.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, we did. And it does work for a lot of people. So we're not saying it's not useful,
right.
But there's a big area where people are searching, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of opportunity for those folks to come together. And that's really what we were trying to do, is create that place.
You created the Global Center for Spiritual Practices, and you made the comment that it's to help people master the art of living by walking the spiritual path on practical feet. We have a little less than 2 minutes in this first segment, so tell us a little bit about what it means, and maybe we'll pick this up certainly in the second segment, but walking the spiritual path on practical feet.
Well, it means exactly what it says, that we want to make our life a daily practice, a spiritual practice. So it's not we do our work and we do this practice on Sunday or on Wednesday, but rather we have things we can do every moment of every day that help us grow spiritually, physically, emotionally. And there's one of our differentiators, of course, is science is now supporting a lot of what spirituality has always known.
Yeah, one of the things, too, that we think that spirituality is to mainstream religion as quantum physics is to classical physics. Nothing wrong with classical physics, nothing wrong with religion, but the spirituality and quantum physics answer more questions. They're more expansive.
Wow. Okay, now that's getting deep. So,
right, so, break.
Oh, man, I got that. Okay, so this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guests are Bill and Cher Holton. Man, you took me out on that one. You know, I'm supposed to be a speaker, and I can't even pronounce a name. That's pathetic. But, you know, when we're talking about quantum physics, neuroscience, and spirituality, that's got my brain going a little bit. So stick with us. We'll be back after these messages, and we'll talk about the differentiator, what makes this different. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Chuck Gallagher with Cher and Bill Holton. They are the founders of the Global Center for Spiritual Practices. And we were talking about in the last segment something that got me all tongue-tied. I mean, we were into this issue of quantum physics, neuroscience, spirituality. And Bill, I want to ask a question, because we kind of were talking about spirituality versus religion. And then there is this kind of area called metaphysics. What's metaphysics? And how does this all kind of work?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. There are many definitions of metaphysics, unfortunately. And I'll say unfortunately, because some of the perceptions of metaphysics go out to what Cher and I call the lunatic fringe. That's not where we go at all. And our definition of metaphysics is really based on metaphysical Bible interpretation, where we take a Bible passage and then interpret that passage as traits, qualities, talents, and skills within each of us. It could be a city, it can be an event, or it can be a person, but we take those elements of that passage and interpret them as all occurring within us, because it's about consciousness. And so it takes all of the Well, quite frankly, it takes all of the sexism out of the Bible. It takes all of the some of the prejudices that you hear about, some of the conflict, if you will, between religions. It takes all of that out because we apply all of that to the inside. And that's what makes our website such a its chief differentiator is, and this is how we describe it, we've placed the Trojan horse of science in the Troy of mainstream religion.
Oh, that's a way cool way of saying it.
And that's exactly what it is, because science, whether it's neuroscience or quantum physics or biology or epigenetics, we include those in our spiritual practices so that when folks come to our site, they can see that our spiritual practices are based on sound science, and they have science behind them, because there is no separation, and we feel should be no separation between science and theology. As a matter of fact, what we had said before when we were on break, we believe that spirituality is to religion like quantum physics is to classical physics. Quantum physics and spirituality are more expansive and explain more, answer more questions, because they're not inside the proverbial box.
Now, I want to ask this question, and this is maybe a little left of center, but I think the three of us would say, if we were to talk about spirituality and or our belief system, as you've said, we would not find conflict with taking a provision of the Bible and being able to talk about it with adding a more spiritual depth discussion to it. But yet, the question would be, but what about everybody else? What about those people who are believers in the Muslim faith, or people who are Buddhist or Hindu? You know, I guess the question becomes, we're all human beings. We're all created by our Creator. We may have different paths to get to source. And generally, most people believe in the path that gets them there. Does it create a conflict if someone says, well, gee, I'm Muslim, but I'd like to find out more about what I can gain from this spiritual practice founded in science?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because when you take away the dogma, the basic truths are the same. And if you really explore that, people get so caught up in the dogma. But if we can put it in another context, which is one reason we like metaphysical, because you can metaphysically interpret any text. It doesn't have to be the Bible. We use the Bible, but you could do the Torah. You could do
the Quran.
Nursery rhymes. I mean, you can interpret anything and find a spiritual meaning from it as you begin to look at how it relates to what in you, within you. And that's the secret. So, yes, I think that looking at science gives takes away some of the emotional baggage that is already associated with a lot of religion.
What's interesting is someone once upon a time asked the Dalai Lama that if a scientific breakthrough became fact, how would that affect the Buddhist religion or a Buddhist practice? And the Dalai Lama, without hesitation, said, well, I would change the Buddhist practice.
Okay.
So he respects religion and science. Science is really on the same path spirituality is. It seeks to uncover the truth about the universe and our place in the universe, and that's exactly what spirituality does, which is why we would prefer being more spiritual than religious. Quantum physicists are looking at what they call the zero-point field, or as it relates to the theory of everything, and we feel that consciousness or the field of infinite potential is what quantum physicists are looking for. They're just calling it a different name. And so, right, as you take this infinite field of possibility, which is endless and has no boundaries or borders, and you have a little pocket of unity awareness or Baptist awareness or Catholic awareness or Islamic awareness, our feeling is that if you're able to step outside that pocket or box of awareness and embrace the best practices of other faith traditions, you're going to expand your awareness. And as you expand your awareness, you understand more about the whole. And eventually, if you make that a practice, we feel that you'll be closer to understanding your place and who you are and why you're here in the universe.
You know, it's interesting the way you put that. And I have to say, I agree with it. It does raise an interesting question. And I really want to get to the idea of what you mean by spiritual practices. But I got to ask the question. and that is, it seems today, and maybe the word seems is the operative word, but it seems today that there are so many extremists everywhere. They're, you know, politically, you're either far left or far right. At least those are the ones that seem to have the loudest voice. Or in the Muslim world, the Muslim extremists are the people that have the loudest voice. So either there is a grand illusion taking place and we're not evolving spiritually, or it's those voices maybe are loud because they're becoming obsolete. And I don't know. What are your opinions?
Well, I do think it's when somebody feels their beliefs are threatened and there's too much cognitive dissonance, meaning what they're hearing is too big a leap from where they are. What people tend to do is dig in deeper where they are. And so I think that's happening a lot as people are, the percentages of people becoming more spiritual than religious, people who aren't ready to make that leap are threatened by that. And so they dig in deeper. And I think that's what we're seeing happen.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing, because as you look at an esoteric level, all religions, as Cher mentioned before, are the same. They have an esoteric foundation. And one of the chief characteristics of esotericism is to do no harm. And so if you're involved in a practice that is causing harm to anyone, then it is our feeling that you're going down the wrong road.
You know, it's fascinating when you sit back and you just watch. And I'm not a big person that wants to spend a lot of time with the news. There's plenty of negativity that's out there, and I don't need to immerse myself in any more of it than you naturally get anyway. But it is quite fascinating. It's almost as if the people with the loudest voices are clamoring. I mean, screaming, holding on with their fingernails. And Cher, you've got some cool fingernails, by the way. Because they popped up, and I thought, oh, my gosh, my back is itching so bad. But not to screw up this entire radio show with this kind of thing, but it seems like they're clamoring to hang on to power that is moving away from them as new generations start to embrace more of what it means to be spiritual.
That's exactly what's
happening. And part of what it means to be spiritual is to recognize that that power is within you. And so no longer do you have to turn it over to somebody else. And it's recognizing the difference between what's going on within me and that world of appearance out there. And how do I work within that as I have to in the skin school, but still stay the true to who I really am.
Now, you talk about spiritual practices, and we have about 2 minutes before the break. So give me a couple of examples of what you mean by that.
Okay, spiritual practices, here's how we define it. Anything you do, it doesn't have to be anything special. It's anything you do with the intention of making that connection between your human self and your spiritual self and recognizing that sense of oneness. So we have created, we're on our sixth books, over 400 of actual things you do every day, but how can you turn that into a spiritual practice? So our goal is for you to make your life a spiritual practice, which is being present in every moment.
That's interesting, being present in every moment. I will be the first to admit that I tend to stink at remembering people's names. And a good friend of mine says, well, it's not that you have a bad memory, Chuck. It's you're not present to hear their name. Yeah. And I was like, well, crap. I wasn't really wanting to hear that, but how so totally true it is.
Hard to own it, isn't it?
Yeah, Cher, it's hard to own some of those things that we don't want to. Look, we're running up on a break. You said, however, you've written, what, six books? Is that right?
Just on spiritual practices. We've written a lot of other books too, but those are just spiritual practice books.
Okay, so before we go to break, if somebody said, oh my goodness, I want one or more of those, where do they find them?
They find them on our website at yourspiritualpractice.com.
Okay, yourspiritualpractice.com.
Right, and hit products.
Okay, and when we get back, what we'll do is we're going to talk more about the spiritual practices and your website, because I'm fascinated by the idea of using something innocuous like a website to actually connect people and to create the experience that they're looking for. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guests are Bill and Cher Holton, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Stick with us. Bill and Cher Holton are my guest here on Straight Talk Radio. Thanks for sticking with us. We have been talking about spiritual practices, and you know, in the break, all of these questions come flowing into my head, and I just hope I will be present enough to remember them all. But we were talking about spiritual practices and the fact that you've got multiple books that talk about them. Share a couple of specific practices with us so that I can kind of get my head around what you're talking about.
Okay, one thing that people do, they hear this a lot, is the power of affirmations and how important it is to say, make positive statements that are in the present tense that reaffirm the truth of what they want to see happen, which is what affirmations are. So one spiritual practice is instant affirmations, which we call glamour grammar. And the way it works is you think about the alphabet. And for each letter in the alphabet, you come up with powerful, positive words. So let's just play for a minute. For the letter A, what are some positive words? Appreciation.
Appreciation, sure, of course.
Okay.
Ambitious.
Ambitious. What about B?
B. Bodacious.
I love that word. I love the word bodacious. Beautiful.
Beautiful, right.
Let's do one more. C.
Creative.
Caring. Okay, so you do that for the whole alphabet. And then you come back and you put the words I am in front of each word. Ooh. So I am appreciative. I am ambitious. I am bodacious. I am beautiful. I am creative. I am caring. And you just go through the alphabet and it creates instant affirmations that you say with enthusiasm and excitement. And where this really works, Chuck, is when you're stuck in traffic. If you're stuck in traffic and you're feeling the frustration of the moment, just take a breath, look around you at the license plates, and come up with positive words that are for the letters that are on the license plates.
Oh, that is crazy cool.
Yeah. It is an amazing practice.
I like to piggyback off of that one, too. A related practice, and it's based on psychology, the theory that says that there is a self-fulfilling prophecy. I know you've all heard of that. Well, this other spiritual practice is called What Follows I Am Follows You.
Ooh.
So if you say I am beautiful or I am intelligent, the intellect, intelligence, and beauty is going to follow you. If you say I am stupid or I am unworthy, that's going to follow you too, and they'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so we recommend, of course, that all of your affirmations, all of your I am statements, goes without saying, be positive.
You know, I have to ask a question relative to that, because the three of us are like having, you know, this little revival together and talking about things that just make sense. And that so makes sense to me. Yet there are so many people that I come into contact with and they're making statements, I am statements, that are really pretty negative. Mm-hmm. You know, the self-image just sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's like you hear it, and it's, I want to say to them, and do in many cases, well, you know, you might want to be careful what you're saying, because, and reframe it. And it's like they hear it and they can say, okay, well, I am beautiful, but the way they say it and the attitude that surrounds it and that will come out after I leave, yep, takes it back to where it was. And it's like, how do you get someone that has a low self-image, that really has this belief that they are unworthy, to buy into the I am worthy?
Yeah. And one of the things we do with people when we do spiritual coaching with them is to start with very small things. Like, what can you believe about yourself that you can affirm? And you can use that. That can become your base affirmation, so that if I can say, I am smart, or I have a pretty smile. If they could at least say that, then whenever they catch themselves saying something like, I'm such an idiot, immediately they come back and say, I have a beautiful smile. So they come up with a few base affirmations that they can pull out and use on a regular basis. Yeah. And we may have them practice ones that aren't about them personally first. Like, I am healthy and wealthy wise in all areas of my life. A little broader, that they don't have their negative, their little ego chatter isn't saying, really?
You know, it's interesting you talk about the idea of coaching, and I still want to get back to some other spiritual practices, but not long ago, and Sherry, you probably are aware of this, I had back surgery, and of course, being the type A personality I am, I expected it to instantly be better, and you know, like, that didn't tell me day two that crap would hurt. But the point was, I kept saying to my wife, I said, you know, gosh, I'm just not healing as quickly as I want. And she stopped me at some point and she said, you know, you need to look at where you were, where you are and where you were, and speak gratitude for what has taken place, because you're keeping, you're speaking something into existence that you don't want. And I was like, well, crap. Thank you for the reminder. And that I can see in working with you guys is what coaching would do, because sometimes someone on the outside can see it more easily than those of us who get caught up in the whatevers of our life.
That's right. True. Yes. And you know, Chuck, your example also relates to another counseling piece that Sherry and I talk about when we work with folks like this, is that it may require you're changing the environment, even changing relationships. If you're around thinking people who continually reinforce, see you as unworthy, tell you you're unworthy, you may need to rethink those relationships.
Yeah, Bill, that's it's fascinating. I worked with a lady who was started in the company. This is many, many years back, and was very, very successful in sales. We taught her. We said, this is what you do. This is how you do. She had no frame of reference other than what she was taught. Went out, just knocked it out of the park. I mean, was one of the top performers. But at home, her boyfriend, significant other, whatever, was part of that stinking thinking group, and it irritated him to no end. She was making more money than he.
Yeah.
And because of that, she would rather be in the relationship being victimized and abused than she would to leave the relationship and do what she was capable of doing. And it's amazing to see, but yet I know with the experience you guys have, you see that all the time.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. It does. I think one of the hardest things in this whole spiritual growth, personally, is for people to accept who they are and be willing to step into their greatness. They've been too often victimized or allowed themselves to be told they're not worthy, that it's hard for them to actually step into that and say, I am.
Right. Now, you were talking about spiritual practices, and one of them I know that you subscribe to and have great belief in is meditation. And I have to tell you, that is the hardest doggone thing. I just am like, okay, I'm either meditation incompetent or something, because, boy, when I sit down and try to do, quote, meditation, my mind goes anywhere but blank.
Yeah, that we have a name for that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we call them chatter bombs.
Oh, well, I'm a speaker, no wonder.
But first of all, there are so many scientific research studies in support of meditation. I mean, it's actually coming out everywhere you look. And just one example, a health insurance company did a survey of all people, and they found that meditators had 87% fewer hospitalizations for heart disease. They had 55% fewer for benign and malignant tumors, 30% fewer for infectious diseases, and 50% fewer doctor visits than those who were not experienced in meditation techniques.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you read that, you think, why doesn't everybody meditate?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the reason people object to the M word is that they have been so programmed by Western religion, and I'll put it that way, to be suspect of the M word, that that they failed to really investigate meditation to really find out its medicinal and transformative benefits. And that's unfortunate. It's an Eastern technique, of course, and it comes from Eastern religions, been around for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 years. And it's a proven technique. And of course, we're proving it medically, of course. And neuroscience has a lot to say about it. But there, it can be a very simple inner focus technique. And essentially, that's what it is. It's a contemplative technique which stills your outer senses. There are even people who say that it stills the senses, but it really doesn't. It stills your five physical senses because you go inside. You go into that place within you of what neuroscientists call your deeper self. Psychologists call it your true self or your authentic self. Philosophers call it your core self. Spiritual teachers call it your higher self or your divine nature. And that's where you go. People who are in traditional religions, it's the place that's called the kingdom of God within. And so you go within, not something exterior to you. So you shut down the outer senses, and it takes some work. When you first enter into it, Sharon and I recommend people looking at meditation, spend 5 minutes and then 8 minutes and then 10 minutes. You build up 45 minutes to an hour is really quite sufficient for that. And it's just simply you focus on something that allows you to focus and cut out the outside chatter. The monkey mind or the chatter bombs Cher just mentioned earlier are all part of the experience. You're going to get it because you're human. As a matter of fact, we mentioned earlier about with the extremist holding on to their views and fighting about the views and not wanting to let them go. Well, the ego doesn't want you to let go of the chatter. The ego is the architect of the chatter, and so you're going to get the chatter bombs. They're part of the experience.
Yeah, and that's really important. That people say, I can't meditate because of the chatter bombs, or whatever they call it, but that is actually part of the process. And once you recognize that, it no longer becomes so frustrating. It's like the whole first part of my meditation is learning how to work with that chatter and to become the director of it. And to say, thank you for sharing.
I think I'm probably have been a minefield of chatter bombs. It has been a war within. My ego certainly tries to fight it. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guests are Beryl and Cher Holton. The Global Center for Spiritual Practices is the place you would want to go. It's actually yourspiritualpractice.com. We're going to stop for a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick with us. So this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and Bill and Cher Holton are my guests, and they've written a book called Straight Talk About Spiritual Stuff, which, by the way, you couldn't have picked a better title. Gee,
it fits perfectly, doesn't it?
It does fit perfectly. And you know, I mean, honestly, I feel like we could continue this conversation for hours because it's really cool stuff. And I know we are barely scratching the surface. Yet, for folks that have been listening through the program, go to yourspiritualpractice.com, yourspiritualpractice.com, and there's oodles of material there and ways to get in touch with the Holtons so that you can get an idea of what it is you can do and where it is you can go to allow this to blossom. But, okay, tell me about Straight Talk Book.
All right, what we did with the Straight Talk Book is come up with a lot of our sound bites, if you will.
Okay.
So it's divided into all kinds of topics and categories from A to Z, divine substance, dogma, perceived obstacles, salvation, Sabbath. I mean, we've got religious terms, we've got non-religious terms, but then we've got our little sound bites about them. So it's the kind of book that people can keep by their bedside and just pick it up and open anywhere, which, by the way, is another spiritual practice.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Just to open and point and see what it says to you. It's not a book you read front to back as much as you just kind of let it inspire you.
So, okay. So tell me some of the favorite sound bites from the book.
Okay, want me to go first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of my favorites.
Oh, Bill, that was very nice, dude.
Isn't he? He's so yeah. good. He is. We have a category called spiritual. Excuse me, that's not correct. We have what called spiritual growth, since that's okay. what we're kind of talking about. And you know, Bill and I are ballroom dancers.
Yes.
We like to dance. So one of our sound bites is this, that Bill and I love to ballroom dance. Once you learn as you progress in your dance lesson is that every single part of the choreography is made up of dance elements. And once you learn a number of elements, you can create dance patterns made of the elements. So we say, and then once you know the dance patterns, you get a new routine. Spiritual growth is the same way. Once we integrate all the elements that we learn, prayer, meditation, study, outreach, meeting with other people, once we put that into a regular pattern of daily practice, we will notice substantial spiritual growth.
Oh, that is awesome. And I love the idea of being able to take something that anybody can connect with, well, at least those people who are inclined to want to dance.
Right.
There's some people that have two left feet, I guess.
But you can learn. It's amazing what you can learn with two left feet.
I hear you. But I love the idea of taking something practical and putting it into a way that people can connect with how that would transform you and take you to another level on a spiritual plane.
Here's another one for you. It's in the category of choices.
Okay.
Something that I know that you're familiar with and high on, Chuck, and it is, we are kept in spiritual sync by the acupuncture of our wise choices.
Ooh.
So that's out of the choice category.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool. Okay.
And you can just kind of think about that. Here's one more. One area that we think is such an important spiritual practice is forgiveness. We could do a whole show just on forgiveness. And the little statement we have here is, as you recall bad treatment, grudges, or any other emotionally laden event, pause in that moment and send a blessing to the people who were involved. Wish for them their highest and best. As a result, you will be blessed abundantly.
You know, that is, that itself is quite powerful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That itself is quite powerful.
And I wish I could say it's simple. It's a simple practice, but it's not always easy to do. It really does take people going within and being willing to send that blessing out to people. It's amazing how difficult that is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, it's fascinating, though, and I think all of us have the examples and experiences of circumstances in life when you look back and you say, well, yeah, that really stunk. but yet at the same time, and I certainly can say this in my life, people that I have been connected with that, let's say, it was less than a pleasant experience, I can either hang on to what my perceived experience was and maintain the emotion around it, or I can recognize that they were doing the best they could under the circumstance and send them love.
That's
and
right.
In every case that I've done that, somehow it has come back to me. And it really transforms relationships in ways that, in many cases, you could never imagine.
Right.
That is so true.
And you can
Absolutely.
Do it even if people have made their transition, died. You can still send them that blessing and that love because we believe there's no separation in spirit.
Right.
Yeah, actually, our little tweet for that is that there is no geography in spirit.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's hey, y'all guys have got some really cool things. I do hope that you're tweeting some of these things that are 140 characters or less to promote yourspiritualpractice.com.
Oh, yes. Well, here's one on faith for you. It's very short, very tweetable. And it's faith is heart to head resuscitation. and it so much is because faith is essentially, of course, showing absolute trust in providence. And it's not hope. Faith is not hoping. Faith is trust.
It's knowing.
Faith is knowing. Faith is surety. Yeah. And that's what makes faith so powerful.
So when someone comes along and they say, you know, I don't know about this religion thing, but boy, this really sounds appealing. and they connect with your spiritualpractice.com. Tell the audience a little bit about what they're going to connect with. How is this going to work for them? Since obviously there's no brick and mortar building to go to hear the ministers on Sunday, et cetera.
Right. The site itself has a lot of great resources on just for individual work. We have articles, we have podcasts, those kinds of things, practices, lots of practices.
A
wonderful blog. Please check the blog. When you go to the site, check the blog because we've got tons of great articles there. But what we're creating now is this center, which will be for members only. And this is a place where people can come safely, knowing that everyone there is of like consciousness. And we'll be doing spiritual cafes in all around the world, hopefully, where people will set up little opportunities in their communities and use materials we give them. But then we'll also have chat rooms, we'll have webinars, we'll have live meetings, and then we'll have maybe two, three times a year a cruise or a trip somewhere that people can get together and meet the people they're talking with online.
You know, it's fascinating today how media has changed and how technology has changed us. I mean, here we're doing this radio show and literally from bi-coastal via Skype, which is kind of fascinating. But the fact that people can connect in ways that geographically in the past they were limited by.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, I hear so many people say, well, you know, you're connecting on Facebook or Google Plus or whatever it happens to be. And that's all fine. But, you know, it's not like connecting in person. And yet, Cher, you and I and Bill know that we've made some connections around the world that if it weren't for technology, we never would have been able to connect.
That's so correct. True.
Yes. Yeah. And we're calling it building a spiritual tribe. It really is.
Right.
It's a group of people who share that common interest, and it's so important to be able to share that with people.
Well, and to you mentioned about a home without walls, without boundaries, and that's what makes this work, because most people who consider themselves more spiritual than religious do not necessarily want to walk back into a church environment with stained glass windows. We call them church alumni.
Right.
But they also want a place of community and a safe place for community, and that's what we're providing.
So we're running out of time, and we could talk for hours about this, but you did mention that in your Straight Talk book that there was a coupon code so that if listeners wanted to pick up a copy of it, they could. So share that with us before we close out today.
Yes, and there's really only one place you can go that we have the link, and that is to our website. Isn't that clever? But it's yourspiritualpractice.com/straight-talk. So you just use the word straight talk with a dash between straight and talk. That'll take you right to a page, and you can have a 16% discount, and you can get it in either soft cover format or digital format. We have it available in both. And there's a link there you can use it. Just type in the word March-16. Because we thought, you know, our favorite teams all made it to the Sweet 16 in March Madness. They didn't all stay there, but we thought that'll be fun, March 16. So the code is there. Just be sure and type that in, and you'll get a 16% discount.
Excellent. That's wonderful. And, of course, go Duke.
Go Duke. Yay.
Exactly. Yay.
They made it to the Final Four.
Yeah, there we go. Listen, it's been awesome having the opportunity to talk with you. We're absolutely going to have to do this again. I really want to encourage the listeners to, whether you're listening auditorially or whether you're watching this on YouTube, go to yourspiritualpractice.com so that you can connect with Bill and Cher. It's an honor to know you personally, but also to know what you're doing in the world and how you're connecting people of like mind. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I'm back at you.
Yes. Yeah, you're doing amazing work as well.
Yep.
So anytime you get a chance to hear this guy, be sure and do it.
Well, you're very kind. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guests have been Bill and Cher Holton, and it's yourspiritualpractice.com. I'd encourage you to go there. And as we close out, remember, every choice you make in life has a consequence. Make those choices wisely. Until next week, this is Chuck Gallagher.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.